Well, I'll tell you right now, I wish my fingers were slim enough to do something like that. But they're fat, and the only thing they can do well is grab a biscuit. Amen. There ain't many pork chops got by these hands, I can tell you that right now. Yes, sir. Praise God. I'm telling you, my, I enjoyed that, brother. I didn't know such stuff come out of something like that. Amen. I enjoyed it. Brother Bob leaned over and he said, you know, that would be a blessing if we could understand that. It was in English. Amen. I said, I agree with you, brother. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I was talking to some of them and they said, you know, I talked and said, how's that hog doing? You know, I was telling about that hog, you know, I've eaten so much mar and dug it out of bones and everything. I said, man, I walk out on the porch and the hog sees me, it starts to limp. And someone said, how's that hog doing? I said, I can tell you this right now, it's a drag in its hindquarters. Amen. I'm telling you, I've done gnawed on that thing a little bit. Well, it's a joy to be here. And when someone mentioned Billy Kelly, I was thinking about, I was talking about pork and everything. One time he said, he's eating. And somebody came and said, Brother Billy, said, man, you eat all them meat, fried meat skins and all this other stuff. And he done cleaned about five or six plates, you know. And said, that stuff, that's going to kill you. He shook his head and he said, you know, my doctor said the same thing. And he said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, I'm going to change doctors. Amen. That's the way to do it, amen. Well, it's a joy to be here with you. Excited about God's blessings and God's goodness. We're excited about what God is doing in our life. And these days, we have announced the first of the year. We're headed to Gig Harbor, Washington, which is northwest of Tacoma, across the Tacoma Narrows on the west side of the Puget Sound, and headed there to plant a church there. We're going to go, and we've been raising our support since the first of the year. Our goal is to transition this October, November this year, and I thank God for how he's bringing in our support. We've had a number of preachers call, said, hey, we're going to help you. I've been in other mission conferences and things since the first of the year, changed me, and I'm excited what God is doing. So thus far, we're on track and for being there at that time frame. Every church we've been in since the 1st of March has taken us on since, except for two. One of them was just a big conference we was in, a lot of missionaries and the pastors there. The other one already supports us, so we're excited for what God is doing. Amen. And I thank God for that, how he's working, provided. Of course, Brother Robinson, your dad took us on the other day. I got a letter call from them. Did you say you was taking us on? I didn't, Brother Clay. How many think that Northwest needs the gospel? Preachers, raise your hand. We got more preachers taking us on. Amen. You say you raise support quick like that, but anyway, do pray for us. We have some prayer cards and things over on the table there. And fellas, I encourage you, the book I made mention of this morning, Dr. Joe Bryant, a great evangelist. Fellas, let me tell you, I encourage you to have him in your church. He's a great man of God. Of course, he'll be preaching tomorrow evening as well. Some of you won't be here to hear him, but I encourage you to have him. And he has reprinted, got permission to reprint that book on the heartbeat holiness, amen. Heartbeat of holiness and tremendous booklet, The Philosophy of Ministry. I believe it would be a great blessing to you. And of course, we have other material there. But do stop and pick up a prayer card and pray for us. Now, we're planning. We're raising short-term support. We're going to plant the church, remain pastor of the church. That way, when you come out west, we'll have another good church, amen, Fundamental Baptist Church that you can visit with us there in Gig Harbor, Washington. Somebody said, well, Gig Harbor, no, that Terry Lawson has arrived, and many people are saying yes. Amen. You that know me. Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 3. And I've been this afternoon studying. I'm a combination of several messages and wound up on another one. And then gone through some other thoughts. And God just really brought us back to this place here. As a new thought kind of here in this passage of Scripture. I love the book of Exodus. I love preaching out of Exodus chapter 3. There's so much material. I'm thankful that you cannot exhaust the Word of God. You can't do it. When you think, well, I think I've about mastered the thing. Hey, listen, then you begin to find more material and God begins to open your eyes. And then you begin to shrink once again and say, boy, I'm very small. This book is filled with so many truths. and so many things in that would help us in our life. Notice verses number 1 we began reading out. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I want to speak to you a little bit tonight on the thought, a place never forgotten. A place never forgotten. Father, tonight I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll manifest yourself through your word. I pray that you'll minister to us. And God, I pray tonight that you'll help us to understand the truths from the word of God. I pray that you'll speak to every heart. Oh God, we pray tonight for your honor and glory. I pray that you'll help us tonight retrieve the truth that we need. Magnify yourself through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever been, has there ever been a place that you've been to and during your lifetime that you've never forgotten? I've been to a lot of places that I haven't forgotten, but there's a lot of places I tell you right now I'd sure love to forget. Amen. I don't want to remember, don't want to think anything about. But I begin to think about Moses. Here's a man. Through his life, he began to look back to the very onset. And this is the onset of his life and his ministry. We find him as he's there later in life looking back to a place. See, that place helped him. That place God used to form and build him and make him what he needed to be. Amen. I'm thankful of that. You know, as I begin to look at the Word of God, it's amazing to me how that God would use an individual's life to bring forth abundant glory to himself. How that God begins to work in that life. It's also profound to me why that he would use ordinary, simple individuals, people like you and me. I don't understand why God would choose to use you or to use me. It's mind-boggling. But God uses simple, ordinary individuals to bring glory and honor unto himself. Here we begin to see, when we truly see, we see ourselves for what we really are. We're sinners. Listen, we're undeserving worms that defy the God of heaven. Why should he want to use me? Why would he want to use me? But I began to look at Moses. Here's a man who's a murderer. Hey, he was rejected by his own. He was cast out from those whom he had worked with and served with. He was weary of his own self. He was destitute. He was despondent. He was depressed. And he was devastated. And he was at the end of self and could not go any farther. I begin to think about that. Oh, listen, he finds himself living in the backside of the desert. He finds himself living there. He felt that he had no purpose in life. I began to think about that very thought of those things. And as I began to look at those, is not that how we are as individuals? I began to think about those words that I pinned down, destitute. Wasn't that how we were? Extremely poor, lacking of means to provide for ourselves. That's the way that we are as a people. We cannot provide for ourselves those things which are needed. Not only are we destitute, but we are despondent as well. That word despondent is low in the spirit from the loss of hope or courage. We had no courage. Oh, but thank God. Oh my, we'll get into that. Don't think about it. He was destitute. That's how we are. He was despondent. That's how we are. He was depressed. That word depressed means to cause to feel utterly dispirited or dejected. pushed down, pulled down, pressed down, oh, destitute. We find that Moses felt that way, but we too are the same way. Oh, we were the same way. Not only we see destitute, that word despondent, that word depressed, but we see devastated. That word devastated means this, to destroyed. It's in ruin, overwhelmed with severe shock or grief or laid to waste. Isn't that how our life was when I began to see the truth and I began to say, oh, this is how Moses felt, but that's exactly how I was. I stood in need of someone to show up and do something for me, amen, who stood in the same condition as Moses. I'm thankful, thank God. Oh, we just... And I was just living from day to day, getting by on morsels of bread. But God, don't you like those words? Amen. But God, I'll tell you, I feel a little preach coming on. Amen. I tell you, I get a little mountain step in there. I get to that, man, I might go to, I call it stump sucking. Amen. Amen. Kelly said, get with it. Amen. But I like those words. But God, amen. Boy, thank God. But God, here's is where God lets Moses know that he's desired by him. See, there's nothing greater to know than to know that there's someone who's working in your life. Listen, God began to work in the life of Moses to teach him and to educate him for the future. Notice the training took place here. It took place on the backside of the mountain, on the backside of the desert. See, God does his training the best, amen. And that's where God does his training. Men of God, you remember back, God used a wilderness place. He used a desert place to begin to teach you and train you and educate you in the things of God and prepare you for the task ahead. We see Moses' life was a life of preparation in these days, and God is working that he might be glorified. Listen, my friend, I don't like the troubles. I don't like the sorrows. I don't like the heartaches. I don't like the training. Amen. I didn't like it all. But let me say to you, God's at work in our lives, preparing us that he may get glory down the road. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm thankful. Praise the Lord that he's working in our lives. I began to see here, we began to see God's working in this man's life to strengthen him for the rest of his life. To know, listen, to know that you're desired, and to know that there's one who cares so much for you, and to know that there's one that has a heart to love you when you're unlovely. I listen, my friend, and you don't love him and didn't care. He said, but in Romans 5 and verse number 6, he said this when we were weak toward him. What is he saying? Verse 8, he said he commended his love toward us when we were weak in our love toward him. Thank God, hallelujah, he loves us. Amen. And thank God, he lets us know that he loves us. For God so loved the world. I'm going to tell you right now, if there's anything that will bring joy and a happiness to your heart, it's to know that there's a God in heaven that desires you and wants to love you. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, to know not only is there God that has a heart to love you, but there's a God that has a heart to help you. Oh, may I tell you tonight, when you're down in the midst of the valley, when it seems like your back's against the wall, when it seems like you can't go any further, it seems like that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no more strength to take another step. Oh, let me tell you, but God, amen. Hallelujah. I said, but God, amen. There's a God in heaven, my friend, that'll help you when you can't take another step. It seems like that arm will slip around you. It'll comfort you. You and it'll usher you right along. And when you can't take the step and you can't go another mile or another step, no, you know what he does? He reaches down with his arms and he'll pick you up and he'll carry you through that dark valley. Excuse me a minute. Amen. Hallelujah. You might as well get in with me. Amen.
Thank God, amen. There's a God that'll help you. He said, for my God shall supply all my needs. Listen, when I need strength, when I need financial help, physical help, thank God there's a God that'll provide, amen. And when I stood with my greatest need, lost and undone without God or His Son, my great need was a Savior. And thank God He came to help and redeem and provided His Son. Hallelujah. Y'all might as well get on board because I'm preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, to know that someone loves you, desires to help you, and has a heart to help you, and to share, and will carry you further down the road. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying tonight, there's a place that Moses didn't forget. Oh, you say, preacher, what do we need to do? We need to understand tonight the desire and the seeking of God. You say, how do we do that? Number one, by looking at the desire of companionship. God's desire of companionship. As we began to think about, notice in this passage of Scripture, it's striking when you realize that Moses had left Egypt in defeated failure, without hope that it would ever accomplish anything in his life. He had left defeated, as I said earlier, despondent. Here he is on the backside of the desert. Notice what he's doing. He's tending the flock of his father-in-law. He's there attending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he's there where, did y'all hear about, it made me think of that joke again. I've told it several times. Did you hear about the fella that was going down the road? He was speeding, met a state trooper. It irritated the state trooper that he was going so fast. So he whirled it. The officer swung his car around, turned his lights on, and took off after the fella. He caught up to him, pulled up behind him. And a fella pulled over, and the officer pulled in behind him. The fella jumped out of the car that he'd just stopped and ran back toward the state trooper's car. He saw him coming. He hit the window. He came down. The fella rammed his head in the window and said, hey! Said, you see the woman sitting in the front seat of my car? The officer looked up and looked back and said, yes, sir. He said, that's my wife. He said, you see the woman sitting in the back seat of the car? He said, he looked up and looked back. The gentleman said, yes, sir, I do. He said, that's my mother-in-law. Said, she's been at the house for 6 long weeks. And said, my wife and her had a falling out this morning. And said, I'm trying to get her home before they make up. The officer said, get in your car and follow me. Amen. Yeah. Hey, he said, Father, he's working for his father-in-law. Here I began to see, that God begins to teach him. Notice the wording, and he led the flock in the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And notice he's working there, and God uses that flock. Let me say, God uses that flock to begin to teach him and to help him in his life. But we began to see God's desire, notice, for him. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire. Here the angel, God showed up. Listen, what was the purpose? Listen, God desired a companionship. See, God desires companionship with you tonight. And God desires companionship with me. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God wants a relationship with you. And God wants a relationship with me. He wants to, He wants someone to walk beside. And you say, wait a minute. I want you to notice that. Notice the reason of man's creation. When you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that the reason that mankind was created was that for the very sole reason that God may have someone to commune with and listen, that He could have a relationship with, amen. And we see that sin had divided that. But thank God there's a God in heaven that we can bring it about and bring a reconciliation, amen. But the main reason we see, He desired, the reason He created that He would have someone to have a relationship with. Oh, listen, but not only we see the reason of man's creation, but we see the revealing of God. What does God do? Our brother was preaching, I can't remember which one, man, this morning, but he was talking about the I Am. Brother from West Virginia, amen, said he was from Alabama. He was talking about the I Ams, preaching about the I Ams. Boy, here we find in Exodus chapter number 3, you find God exposes Himself for the first time in verse number 14 and gives forth His name. Here we find that here God begins to reveal Himself. What does He do? God exposes Himself to Moses. Now, I'll preface, some of you may have heard this illustration, so I'll preface it for you that have not heard it. Now, I am not a stalker. Okay? You'll understand in a moment. I am not a stalker. Now, when I was in Bible college, I saw this young lady, and I found out her name. Well, some of you, of course, know Andrew Stringer, who recently had all the health issues, and he traveled with me for 4.5 years. Continue to pray for him.
Amen.
And God's answering prayer. God's answering prayer. But Andrew worked for the English professor at the college, and we called him his slave, for Dr. Schaefer. He graded papers and worked and so forth. And so he was in there, and he had access to the computer system of the college, the mainframe. And so I walked in, and I said, Andrew, I need some information. I need some information. He said, what do you need? I said, I need to know a little bit about this young lady. I said, now, I need to know how old she is. Here I was. My most depressing birthday was my 30th birthday. You say, why is that? Because I wasn't married, and I had no prospect in sight. I'm telling you. I said, oh, God, what have I done? All I've done is ride up down the road for over 10 years. Where's she at? Somebody said, why was you in evangelism? I said, I was searching the world over. Amen. I was looking. What corner is she in, God? So I went in. And, of course, some of them, nothing against 18, 19-year-olds. And here I was 30. And they said, well, why don't you go out? And I said, I'm 30 years old. I don't want to rob the cradle. And I almost did, but I didn't. Amen. I said, I need to know how old she is. So he said, all right. He turned around. He had the password for the mainframe of the computer, typed in the password. Up came the system. And he looked, and he said, what's her name? And I told her, and he typed her name in, Christy Combs. Up popped her, Brother Steve, up popped her telephone number, her date of birth, all the information the college had about her. First thing I did was look and see, could I get a bottle of water? I saw him passing it out last night. If it's not water, I'll take whatever you got. Amen. We might really have camp meeting. Amen. And y'all disguised it in a water bottle, didn't you too? Amen. There goes 45 minutes. Sorry, brother. I get a little dry there. Got to have a little oil to lubricate things. And so anyway, I said, first thing I did was look to see how old she was. And I said, okay, that's 7 years, that difference there. So I got her telephone number, had her birthday, her address, got her college schedule, where she's going to be. And so here I was, 30 years old. I'm telling you, I was 30 years old, going on 31, and I'd dial the number. And I'd get to that last digit, my knees was knocking, and I'd hang it up. And the Lord said, I thought you was looking for a wife. I said, well, I'll talk to her later, Lord. And so here I am. One day I must have stumbled and hit the number, and her old gruffy dad. Anyway, he answered, hello. I said, let me talk to Christy. And so we started talking and talked a little while. And then I called again, and we talked some more. And so at the end of that conversation of the first phone call, though, she asked me, she said, listen, how did you get my telephone number? Be sure your sins will find you out. She said, how did you get my telephone number? And I said, well, I got it out of the directory.
It's, hello.
We're here. I didn't know I needed one. I said, I got it out of the directory. She said, How could you? Now, she thought I meant the regular phone book. She said, how could you? Our number is unlisted. I went, I changed the subject mighty fast. Now, I said I had all the information. I had her class schedule. You say, why did you have that? See, I knew where she would be Monday, Wednesday, Friday in classes at certain times at school. And I knew where she would be on Tuesdays and Thursdays, everywhere around campus. I knew when she left that class, where she would be going. And I knew the proximity. If she was going from the fourth floor there on McDuff, if she was going around from there to the annex or to the library or the chapel. Listen, I knew where she... And so, I used to stand around in hymn hall with the guys and... But business was picking up. Man, I'd sit close to the door. I'd watch that watch. Boy, when that bell rings, choop, choop, everything is eyes out the door and go. Talk to you guys later. And I would take and I would position. Hey, here I'd be. I'd look and boy, I'd see her coming way down that hallway. And so I'd maneuver through the crowd, not the congregation, but I'd maneuver through the crowd in that hallway till I wound up standing right in front of her. Now, I've lost 145 pounds in the last 5.5 years. Somebody said, hey, could she see you? I said, I was over 400 pounds, took up half the hallway. What do you think? Amen. She had to walk around to get by. Amen. You say, why in the world did you place yourself in her way? Because I wanted her to see what a hunk I was. Amen. I wanted her to see, I wanted her to see me. How muscular I was, amen. Man, I tell you what, somebody said, I wouldn't her know I was a weightlifter. I told her I could lift a pan of biscuits and one in each hand, amen, praise God. Hey, listen, you say, what was the purpose? See, I wanted her to see me for who I was. You say, what's the reason that God placed himself in the way of Moses? Hey, it was the same thing. See, God wanted Moses to see him for who he was. Listen, my friend, you say, has God placed himself in the way? He has right here at Fellowship Baptist at the camp. You know why he's placed himself in your way that tonight? It's because he wants you to see who he is and how wonderful he is. He revealed himself. Not only we see a desire for companionship, and I speedily hurry, but we see a desire for communication. A desire for communication. Notice with me, he turns aside in verse number 3 to see this great sight. And why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside and see, God called. Aren't you thankful for that call of God? Boy, there's nothing like the call of God. That call of God is something special. Amen. Oh, listen, think about when you didn't know Him and that sweet Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, began to speak to your heart and began to speak to you. I get happy about it. They said, oh, Terry's going to get tired of talking about getting saved. Hey, listen, it's been 31 years. I'm just as happy now as I was the first day. Hallelujah, that I come to know Him. Thank God for the call of God. Fellas, you preachers, you men of God, we all think about the fact of the God, of the Spirit of God dealing with our heart and calling us and wooing us. But listen, men of God, do you remember that call? Do you remember that sweet Holy Spirit, listen, breaking through and speaking to your heart and said, hey, I want you. I'm enlisting you. I'm calling you. And we throw our hands up as Moses did and say, God, I can't do it. I know we can't. But there's a God that called us. Jeremiah said, I'm going to be quiet. And I'm going to zip my lip. But God, when He's called you, you can't be quiet. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. You say, what have you been doing? Over 22 years, I've been doing preacher aerobics. Amen now. By God's help. Thank God. God, he said, God called him out of the midst of the bush. He's overwhelmed by the thought. Now, you think about it. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Can you imagine his thought when he walks up toward the bush and all of a sudden his name is called? The bush is not being burned up. It's not being consumed. But all of a sudden, God speaks to him. Oh, my. Kind of like it was. Some of them's telling me I need to.
I need to say, y'all, some of y'all saw that deer hunting video. I thought I killed a three or four, but I killed two. Listen, if you'd like to get a DVD of Lawson's Express Hunt, we'll talk after service. Amen. It's scary. I'm dangerous in the woods. My wife said, Terry, honey, it's not good for you to be alone in the woods with a camera. I produced my own video of hunting. Amen. By myself. That's a unique ability. But I was surprised when I walked down and it was a seven-pointer. I said, talk about surprise. Amen. Hey, listen, can you imagine he's walking up there, walking up toward that leader, and all of a sudden his name is called? Being overwhelmed with surprise. Oh, you say, well, preacher, what do you see here? I see that all God's desire for fellowship. And now we talked about relationship, but this is talking about the fellowship. See, God wants to fellowship with us. Hey, listen, it's not a one-way street, this thing. See, E.M. Bounds made the statement, see, prayer is our key that we talk to God. And he said this, E.M. Bounds made the statement, he said, the key that unlocks a door to heaven and ushers us into the throne room of God's mercy and God's grace and the abundance of God's blessings is the avenue of prayer. Amen. Oh, we're told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, he said, pray without ceasing. Billy Kelly said, how in the world you do that? He said, one thing, when you're going down the road, make sure your eyes are open and you don't pray with your eyes closed, amen. He said, you'll be causing a mess. Hey, listen, God wants to fellowship with us. Pray. Now, there's two things about prayer. See, this is not a one-way street. He begins, God speaks to him, but then he answers. See, God wants to communicate with us. I've had people tell me, well, preacher, I don't know how to pray. Well, let me say this to you. Prayer is a learning process. It's a learning process. I don't know how to pray. Well, I didn't know how to pray when I got saved. But I bowed my head and I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a big sinner. But I know this. I am a sinner. I said, Lord, I'm a thief. I'm a liar and a thief. Probably the biggest thing, and this is what I pray. The biggest thing, Lord, on my records, I'm probably the biggest cookie thief in Surrey County, North Carolina. Amen. I realize who I am. Now, I didn't know how to pray. When a person gets saved, they say, well, hey, I don't know what took place, but I tell you what, this saved thing, boy, I got saved. Well, we didn't understand everything about salvation and grace and justification and all the things. We didn't understand all that terminology. But listen, my friend, we had to learn. Prayer's the same thing. Now, listen. My wife that I told you that I stalked, I mean that I got information on. We were married. Now, listen, I was 32 years old. And I was just tickled to death that somebody would have me. Amen. I was excited. We'd been married probably maybe 6 months to a year. And one day we were back in Jacksonville when we lived there, and we were back to the apartment, and we came in and she had fixed lunch and I was sitting at the table. And how you both sit on the same side of the table, you know, when you first get married, side by side. And as we were there, my wife turned and she looked at me and she said, I have a question for you. I'm even nervous now, amen. That is not a good question. But I didn't understand the full ramifications of everything at that point in time. Like I said, I was in a learning mode. So I said, you have a question? She said, yes. She said, do you like my biscuits? Mm-hmm. And I said, she said, well, before you speak, let me say, she said, I've been watching you. When we go to your mother's, you eat a whole pan of biscuits. But when I fix them, you only eat a half, maybe a whole, maybe a half, sometimes not any at all. Do you not like my biscuits? And I said, honey, you know, we discussed things. We talked it over. And I said, well, you know, we'd be honest with one another.
And I said, to tell you the truth, I don't like your biscuits. Now, I should have known better and should have put a period there. But I had running of the mouth, blah, 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 you know. And I said, I don't like your biscuits. They're not like mama's. Y'all, hey, the same spirit here was there. Amen. Hey, and let me ask you a question. Fellas, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Uh-huh. And, hey, and let me ask you this. Have you seen this and this? This means things are rather tense. This means you are about ready to get something you don't even want. Amen. And she said, I'll have you to know, I don't even like your mama's biscuits. And I said, well, I'll tell you right now, you're the first person to ever say that to me. Amen. Well, she looked back at me and said, I'll tell you right now, if you get another biscuit in this house, it'll be out of a can. Man, for the next... I thought, listen, I woke up to gunshots every morning. Amen. Pow, pow, amen. Some of you fellas better nod your head, amen, right there too. Hey, but praise God, hallelujah, I'm about to have a running spell. Revival come to the house about a year later to that RV we're sitting part. And I'll tell you, I said, I'm talking about a learning process, amen. All of a sudden, that door opened coming back into the back of that RV, and she walked in on a plate. She had two sausage biscuits, and she looked at me and she said, I got a new recipe. I said, oh, okay. And she handed that plate to me. I picked one of those biscuits up. I opened my mouth and inserted and consumed almost half of the first one. And I looked at her and I said, that's the best biscuits I've ever eaten in my life. Amen. Yeah. I had to learn the process of communication. You say, well, that's rather humorous. Well, you're laughing, so you've apparently been there too. Amen. Hey, but I'm saying this, we may not know how to communicate, but if we begin talking, amen, there's a process of learning how to talk to God. And thank God, as we begin to grow in God, I'm thankful, praise God, as we communicate. Hey, our communication is greater today than it was when we first got married. That's the way it is. Not only see it's a learning process, but it's a love progression. Boy, I tell you, it's a love progression. We talk. I leave the house going to Mount Airy when I'm home. I haven't been home very much this spring. But when I leave the house and headed to Mount Airy, she'll tell you, if I was to dial the number right now, she said, he'll call me, if he's only going to be gone 35 or 40 minutes, he'll call me 10 times. You say, why do you do that? I know I'm going to be back in 45 minutes. I love talking to her. I love talking to her. I love communicating with her. Oh, it ought to be the same way. We learn, and as we learn, the love begins to grow in us. Oh, listen, and it's a progression that grows in us. The more we talk to Him, the more we want to talk to Him. Thank God, amen. Thank God, thank God. Not only see here desire for companionship, the desire for communication, but then we see a desire of commitment. See, God lets Moses know what He wants of him. You know, I'm thankful that God didn't save us and forget us and cast us away. But He gives us and wants us to know His heart. He's preserved this great book, the Bible. He's preserved it for us so we could know His heart and know His desire for us. And here we find that God lets him know. And verse number 5, he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Notice the request of God. The request, he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes. Notice here, as the psalmist David said in Psalm 37:5, he said, commit all thy ways unto the Lord. He said, I want you to be committed to me. See, he wants us to comply with his word. You know why our church is in shambles today? You know why our world is in a mess? And listen, I'm talking about the church world. Listen, you know why we're in a mess? It's because of the failure to comply with His Word. All He asks of us is to follow what He says and to do His bidding. He requests. We see the request of God. See, the Bible is His request to us. He said, as I am holy, be ye holy. As I am, listen, be as me. Walk after me. Love me. Cherish me. I desire. And see, God has let us know He's committed all His resources to us. And the thing about it is that we can have all of God we want. We're not restricted to the amount that we can have of God. See, He's all. And all, above all, He's all that we need. See, we see the request of God, but notice we see the response to God. What does He do? He said, put off your shoes, off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Listen, this is the place. His response was, God, I want to be obedient to You. I want to comply. I want to follow You. And listen, God, You've expressed Your desire for me. In return, His removing of His shoes is an expression of obedience to God and letting God know His desire for Him. He said, God, I want You. I want You. See, Moses never forgot the place where God changed him and worked in his life. I said, has there been a place that you've never forgotten? Listen, been some places in my life where God has worked. God has moved. I never want to forget. See, he was always overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. Listen, here he is later down the road in his life. Can you imagine him pondering and thinking and telling the grandchildren, the other children, as he may be walking through the camp of Israel? He go, hey, he says, tell us about your early days. Oh, he said, I'll tell you, I'll never forget when I was on the side of that mountain. And all of a sudden, I saw something. And I turned aside to see. What a great sight it was. Let me tell you, that encounter changed my life. Oh, see, we should never get over what God has done. And we should never get over what God is doing in our lives for His glory. Don't ever forget a place not forgotten. Father, tonight we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. God, help us to be mindful. Oh God, help us to be mindful of the work that You've done in our lives and through our lives, that You might have the glory. Father, thank You for working in lives and hearts of ordinary, simple individuals. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.